up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Welcome back, Stacking Jack. Sometime out. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us as well. S&P futures up 1275. We've got to keep going up here. We are. And we've got, obviously the market's heading. Some stacks that we never even heard of are going up even higher than the stuff I talk about in the morning. We're trying to talk about some of those today. Anyway, Procter & Gamble, 8% jump in sales, so they raise his forecast after earnings. Procter & Gamble, do you think possibly that the price increases in some of the stuff they sell could have lended itself to that 8% jump in sales? Just saying. Kevin, how are you?
I don't think that's possible because there is no inflation. We all know that.
I know, but it's okay, though.
I have a question about the opening and the Illinois Nazis. I think we all can agree that we can join John Belushi in saying I hate Illinois Nazis, but have they been kicked off of Twitter yet?
They got kicked off the bridge in a movie. Right? Was that the Marquette Park Lagoon they all went in, or what was that? It was something like that, right?
Oh, it's been so long since I've seen it, I don't even remember. I do remember them going off the bridge, but wasn't that downtown? Wasn't that...
It was some park because there's no, it wasn't, it didn't like jump in the Chicago River, I don't think.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, those guys.
Those guys. Anyway,
would that make a good name for a rock band?
I don't know. You'd be off Twitter. it's okay though. We have people, you know, that maybe even, you know, are part of the show that think that everything's okay now that Trump's out and other guys are in. Don't worry,
Jake. Yeah, you know, they call them a cult. Yeah. You know, the Trump followers a cult. Did you see the dude on CNN David Chalian on CNN starts talking about the line of lights on the reflecting pool. And they had like a COVID victim ceremony or remembrance or something, and they lined up lights along the reflecting pool. This guy's on CNN. One of their commentators saying it's like extensions of Joe Biden's arms embracing America.
Yeah, it's
this reminds me of the New York Times writer who was asked Obama in the first few months of office, what surprised you the most, what enchanted you the most, what humbled you the most, and what troubled you the most, what enchanted you. These people are cultists too.
It's all about the money. It's all about. I don't see how the this is. Let me see where else is from. I don't know if this is any kind of a decent whatever. Well, this is the Guardian. I don't know what the hell is the Guardian. But I'm sure this stuff is listed because I've read it in a few different spots. Anybody who thinks that these people, I heard, just Janet Yellen, if I come back in life, I want to come back as looking like, you know, your best grandma, and I got the gray hair, not as bad as her, but I want to come back looking at your best.
I think you could pull it off now, dude, just put you in a dress.
I could be. I could be a little taller than her, though. What's she, about 4'9"? But anyway, The idea that this lady should be back in office, I can't even. I'm almost ready to give up, Kevin. I really am. Between Maddie telling me I've become a right winger now, and I should belong on Fox News, which I don't think I do. With him telling me everything's going to be okay, just listen to the Democrats.
Never said that once, and would never say that. Again, made up.
Okay, see how he is?
Fake news.
I've never once ever said, listen to the Democrats, they know what they're talking about. I hate the Democrats.
Okay.
All I've said is, lately you've had a habit of spouting out things such as that are just completely not true, and you never used to do that. That's all I've said.
What I've been doing lately, unfortunately, maybe, is I'm getting a sense of where we're going. And it appears, in that sense, I think it's pretty accurate, and we keep going there. I can't tell you a fact about where we're going to be in 2 years. I'm just telling you, Kevin and Maddie. But look at this. Here's a lady that 2 days ago, I heard her on TV, and she said something about, somebody asked her about her engagement. She said, there's a few places that she might have to recuse herself from because she took speaking fees. A few places. Let me get this straight. You're going to be the head of the Treasury. Let's see, 50 paid speaking events for financial firms. Now, the top, well, okay, maybe not the top 50, maybe the 50 of the top 60, I'll be accurate, events for financial firms, 67.5 from Goldman Sachs, 54,000 at Barclays, 292,000 from a single speech for hedge fund Citadel. So let's say, and I read yesterday to my absolute gall that one of the changes, one of our left-wing people, sent me this thing regarding how they're going to go back to regulating people because Trump didn't want to regulate people. How the hell is she going to regulate anybody when she took a check from everybody? She earned $112,500 from a single speaking engagement with UBS. Name me a place that has been in more trouble over the last 20 years than UBS. And she takes a check from them, and now she's a regulator.
Well, she may have, you know, taught them ethics.
Yeah. $225,000 from a speech at PwC. Who the hell's PwC?
PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Okay.
UBS is a Swiss company, correct?
I understand that.
So I don't think she regulates them.
Matt refused.
But they operate in the United States, so yeah, they do.
They have a U.S.
No, they
arm.
Do. And by the way, I'm in complete agreement with you that I'm so tired of money in politics and the conflict of interest. It's insane. I don't think she should have this post. But I'm saying I don't think a U.S. sitting politician regulates companies from other countries.
Do you think for a second they don't have a U.S. arm?
No, of course they do.
Well, but then you regulate it.
No, but I guess you do regulate a U.S. arm if they're doing business from a U.S. arm. But I'm saying I don't think U.S. politicians have the power to regulate a German company or a Swiss company or a Japanese company.
We find them.
Is that true or am I wrong?
Hey, how many times have we fined UBS for money laundering and everything else?
I'm sure we find.
Okay,
that
well
out.
Then.
So that's what I'm asking. I'm honestly asking.
Yeah.
So a U.S. politician has the power to regulate a foreign company. There's no
foreign company operating in the United States.
Right. Well.
And not the entire foreign company, just the United States operations.
Right. So they can.
Are we all clear on that? Because that's exactly the way it is.
Okay, that's what I was asking. So they regulate the operation in the U.S. It's not like some sort of extradition type thing, like a criminal that they have to get.
No.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, I don't see HWC on this list, but aren't they the guys who bought Household Finance, which was a massive? If you were a young when we were young, Maddie, whenever you put the Cubs and Sox games on in the afternoon. Household Finance, which was the then, you know, borrow money from them at God knows what interest rate, they were all over the Cubs and Sox games. And then somewhere along the line they get bought. I think they got bought by HWC or HP, somebody. Some bank bought them. But they're still in the business somehow. But, I mean, Standard Chartered, they're London headquartered, but you see them all a place here, right? They're here.
You're talking about
Standard Chartered Bank. I think they're here.
Yeah, and I know HSBC is London too, right?
Yeah, but they're all here. I guess my question to both of you gentlemen, since we're all fired up here this morning, and this is a good question, nobody's ever been able to answer, Lou or Brendan or anybody. If I write that check to her, what exactly do I think I'm buying? It can't be a total get out of jail free card. I don't believe that if they killed somebody, she wouldn't go after them. I mean, I don't think she's that bad. But, I mean, what exactly do you buy? Do you buy the fact that there's never going to be market makers that can compete with these people. You're never going to go in and get rid of payment for order flow. I mean, what exactly do you think you're getting? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
You're buying, first of all, you're buying access. You're buying ongoing access that most people can't get. And then part two is you're buying at least consideration of your point of view or your input on legislation, decisions, et cetera. You're getting at least consideration. And, of course, the worst case is you're bought and you'll do their bidding, but that's not necessarily true in all cases. But the quid pro quo, which is always difficult for me to say, is always the access. That's always the first thing.
But if you are Janet Yellen or somebody, or Matt Weber or whoever it is, if you take money from somebody and you go to their place, are you implicitly saying what they're doing in your mind is okay? Are you given? I mean, if you thought. And I don't think Mr. Weber would go give a speech at Local 12. People remember the, you know, Villains, Thieves, and Scoundrels Union. If you do, are you legitimizing the union, I guess is my question.
Well, that's an interesting ethical question because you always have the ability to influence for the better. So let's just be altruistic for a minute here and say, you know what, they're not going to improve the way they conduct themselves. Unless people get after them for it. So maybe if you can go speak some real truth at a company that doesn't behave well, then you could probably make the case that that the effort is worthwhile. By the same token, there's always got to be people whose money you never take.
So you think if he goes to Citadel that she went there to straighten him out and they paid her for it?
No, did I say it? Did I say I think that, Tom?
No. I'm saying, I don't think there's any
chance.
Why
did you say so you think?
I guess I knew you'd say that's not what you said because I don't think that's what you said. What I'm saying is, I don't know that if you're going to do that, I don't think you can take a check. You know what I'm saying, Kevin? I don't know the answer.
You know, but that becomes a good ethics discussion. That I think is really worth having, because as I told you yesterday, because we had an email exchange about this, and one of the problems that we have in Washington is that people like Yellen have no problem taking $7 million of speaking fees in less than 2 years, and then moving back into government.
Right.
And it doesn't think twice about it. That's totally separate. I moved out of government. I did my thing. I moved back into government, and you know, I had it coming. It's the ethics and legal. Is it legal? Yeah. Is it ethical? If you're planning on getting back into government, I would suggest that you not be so compromised, or even have the appearance of being compromised. But that's not the way people in Washington, it's not the way, especially on the appointed side of the business, that's just not the way they think.
Well, but it's
so the ethics is, as I said to you yesterday, ethics are for suckers.
Yeah, well, I guess where I'm going with this, many different directions, because I'm obviously seething about it. When she admits herself that there's some people that she has to recuse herself from, well, if I'm the head of transportation, and I took $100,000 from Ford, I guess they're not Chrysler anymore, Ford, Fiat, General Motors, Hyundai, and I rattle off the list of all 10 manufacturers. I said, okay, if I gotta recuse myself from all 10 of them, what am I doing there?
Well, I would say that is true, and even if you have to recuse yourself from one big player, you gotta ask what you're doing there, because you didn't say I'm stepping away from that decision, but you're not stepping away from the industry,
right? I mean this list.
You know, you can't recuse yourself from everything that affects that company.
I'm going to say tomorrow that the first she's in office tomorrow, right? For back, I imagine.
But she's in office as soon as she's confirmed.
Okay, so she's in next week. The first phone call they're going to make is to Goldman Sachs to do a trade. Okay, well, other than her, I don't get it. I mean, every one of these people is, well, not everyone, but a lot of these people are prime dealers. And this
I mean, you can't avoid it. You can say, well, we have a complaint to the regulators about Goldman Sachs. Yeah, you can say that, and I'm going to recuse myself from anything related to that. But you can't recuse yourself from the day-to-day operation of the Treasury, and Goldman Sachs is part of the day-to-day operation of the Treasury.
Okay, so the next question is, so now that we're all happy that we got the new people and all, why didn't one person ask her about this yesterday? Well, in full disclosure, CNBC was going back and forth, so I didn't listen to the entire testimony, so somebody might have. But I didn't hear anybody say, you got no business in that job because of what you did here for the last 2 years. I mean, but somebody should say it. One of the Republicans should say it, for God's sake.
It wouldn't occur to them to say it, Tom, because they want to do the same thing.
Which is exactly my point, that there seems to be, they are Local 12, that there's things they won't, they'll insult their outfits, they'll insult their friends, they'll insult everything, but they won't ever insult the money part. There's absolutely hands-off rules. It's like there's honor among thieves.
I agree.
Well, I think we're in real bad shape.
I agree. Who was it? Barbara Boxer? She backed off because she got busted publicly, but she signed the foreign lobbyist form for a Chinese company.
Yeah.
And but this was like week before last, and backed off. But she was going to make big money off of that. There's no, you know, no ethics here. These are the same people that we finally got around to declaring no good nicks for the way they treat the Uyghurs.
Yeah, like I said,
that could have come 8 months ago, couldn't it?
Yeah, I don't.
But better late than never, I guess.
The issue. Well, I have a lot of issues. Obviously, people can tell that this morning, but. I always thought that if we ever had, a real bad situation in this country, that somehow or another, the people that do nothing but steal from the place, which seems to be a lot of them, you would think the people who do nothing but steal from a country that technically, aren't we still at war on terrorism? Now we're also at war against COVID. I would have thought that stealing from your country is a little bit less of a national sport than it is right now. I knew from a lot of people that fought in Korea and World War II when I was young. And most of those people, of course, I was with the worker bees, and the people were actually in the army and so forth. I don't know that it was such a national sport to spend your whole time stealing from the place. I mean, the people in Washington, congressmen, people like that, their kids were fighting. I don't know that they would have approved a PT boat engine that didn't work just so they could favor a guy when they know their kid is driving a PT boat. I mean, somehow we've got a separation here, Kevin, and I can't put my finger on. I absolutely don't know what the solution is. And maybe I'm getting aggravated that I don't, and maybe that's what Maddie's sensing in me or something, but I mean, I honestly don't have a solution. Because I see us go from one administration to the next, and some have, you know, obviously the last one was unique in a lot of ways in terms of things that you never thought could happen, but in terms of the things that I care about, there was stealing under Obama or stealing under Trump, but now there's going to be stealing under this guy. Nothing seems to change. And yet, I think our predicament as a country keeps getting worse and worse. And everybody talks about it while they got the hand in their pocket. And I don't see how we come out of this unless somehow we shake that up, Kevin. You know what I'm saying? I don't see it happening.
Oh, it's not going to happen.
Well, but if it doesn't,
you know, what you have going on now too is such a, such a reorganization of the way things, of just so many industries, so many ways of life, power grabs by government, and so on, that the chaos alone is creating lots of opportunities for people to make hay.
Well, I mean, I don't know that there's
not
ever,
in a good way.
We really are becoming it's. It's like a war under our own. We're degrading under ourselves, and I'm starting to read a lot more about Roman history, and it's a little bit at a time, Kevin. A little bit at a time. You know, it used to be the people in Rome, their kids were fighting, so then whoever they rode herd on the generals pretty good because it was their kids getting killed. Then all of a sudden it wasn't their kids getting killed. They really didn't care what the generals did. I mean, everything just seems like it dissipates. And you lose control somehow as citizens, and it just seems like it. people get bought off by by gladiator fights and the dole and everything else. And I don't, we're heading someplace, and I know Maddie's probably seething over there that I'm saying it, but I sense problems, and I don't see anybody really trying to make a solution out of it. When I ask a simple question on the way in, okay, we're vaccinating people. Now, do those people go back to work? Do we have any kind of a program for what it means? I mean, and Maddie says we're trying to get to 60% of the people vaccinated. Okay, so
I said that's a hypothetical number. I don't know what the number is.
Well, but it's, you're right. That's the herd immunity, 60, 62. Well, actually, this thing is way more contagious. So I'm thinking it might be higher, actually.
I can tell you the private sector in Chicago that's waiting to get the vaccination to a certain point so that they can trust, you know, millions of people riding public transportation into downtown again is dying for people to get back to work. So the second that we hit whatever number we need to hit from a vaccination standpoint, we will be back to work. I can promise you that.
I don't disagree with you, Maddie, on a big term scale. I think that our guys, Jay Pritt, everybody wants things back to normal. I get that part. But in my life, everything is in the detail. Okay, the guys that are going on the CBOE floor, okay, the people that are trading, they're getting tested like every other day, and they're paying $150 a test. All right, so if one of those guys somehow gets the vaccination, can he say the next day, I'm not taking your friggin' test anymore, and I'm not giving you $150? I think the answer is no, man. This is what
you
I'm talking
to ask
about.
The SIBO, I don't know.
But I'm saying I don't think that these people are going to move out. I don't think the mask manufacturers are going to take a seat. I don't see it happening. I mean,
they're not. I just saw an ad on TV last night talking about the availability of the vaccine. You could, you know, get yours. Here's how you register. And by the way, after you get the vaccine, be sure you continue to social distance and have a mask.
Yeah.
Because, after all, we all know that this we're changing permanently.
Yeah, I mean,
this is just so not normal and overbearing. I don't understand it at all. I really don't. I don't understand why people are so many people are so easily compliant on it. I guess we've done such a fine job of scaring the crap out of people. That they're just willing to take any orders just take them and do them.
Well, I mean, I believe right now, and again, everybody fire at me, I don't think in most people's minds right now, it's never ever going to be my decision or your decision to say, hey, I had the friggin' COVID. I just went to the doctor. I got the antibodies. I don't need to wear this mask. I don't need people yelling at me. But I don't ever see the point where this is going to become my decision and people trust me to do the right thing. Because everybody tells me you can't trust people to have common sense. We have to tell them what to do. I don't want to live in a country like that. Nobody has common sense. And you have to tell them what to do. Who the hell are you? It's like,
I agree.
I mean, it's like if, everybody thinks that there should be, when people get a FOID card or a concealed carry, or even a gun for that matter, well, I guess you're supposed to have a FOID card to get a gun, but that doesn't bother most people, that there should be a limit on people who can own guns. I think everybody will agree on that. Here's also what everybody agree with. The limit should start, if I've had 15 convictions, and my IQ is 30, we talked about IQs yesterday, the limit should be 16 convictions and 29 on an IQ, right? It's always going to be right below me. I get to tell somebody what to do. Nobody gets to tell me what to do. I mean, we got to get out of this.
Good work if you can get it.
Yeah, we got to get out of this. I mean, I really don't. I mean, the last thing and I don't see us getting out of it because economically I think it hurts us. I think it does. Anyway, S&P futures up 12. NASDAQ futures up 98. Oh, but Kevin, I have a question for you. Speaking of stocks, you've been noting these companies. Every company now who's involved in anything to do with batteries or anything. You know these places, LRCX and SWKS, and these stocks were like $60 6 months ago, and now they're all like $400. The stocks.
Don't know anything about them, but what kind of batteries do they make?
Well, I mean, whatever. Anybody who's even. It's almost like you got your .com number in 2000. I mean, every one of them has their 15 to 20, 10, even Netflix yesterday. What's their revenue per share? Like 40? 30 in the stocks, God knows what. I mean,
Netflix is Netflix has two things going for it right now. One is that obviously with everybody at home, there are way many more subscribers, and they've just had an explosion of subscribers. So if you're projecting a future revenue stream, Netflix is probably a pretty darn good projection. But now that may taper off if things loosen up here. But that may taper off. The other thing is, Netflix is not really in any of the controversy right now. So, Twitter, Facebook, if I understand what I heard correctly, they have lost some value recently.
Facebook has for sure.
Completely neutral when it comes to
that. Well, Twitter never had much in the way of value. The stock was never high because they don't have any money.
Facebook started losing daily, you know, subscribers or users or whatever you call it, 6 or 9 months ago,
yeah.
and they've been just losing every quarter because people aren't interested in their platform and haven't been. The younger people haven't been in the last couple of years, and now it's starting to trickle down. I kind of feel the same about Netflix. I think Kevin's right that their subscribership went up during the pandemic, but they haven't been able to make new content because of COVID. And they didn't seem to have the stash of content that Amazon and some of their competitors have had for whatever reason. And I find myself and a lot of people I've talked to not watching Netflix nearly as much as the other options out there. And I wonder if that's going to be a similar thing where 6 or 9 months from now we'll start to see those guys go down too.
Well, I've got the shares outstanding in Netflix of 441 million. Their revenue this year is going to be like 20 to 25 billion. Okay, so it's $50 a share in revenue, and the stock's trading close to 600. So can that revenue stream quadruple? I mean, I don't know. Seems like a lot. S&P futures up 13, NASDAQ futures up 104. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Carson Jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us. S&P futures up 1450. NASDAQ futures up 108 on Inauguration Day. And I think the inauguration is still supposed to be outside on like it normally is, even though the weather... Inauguration has always been outside, no matter what the weather, right, Manny? They've never brought it in.
It's my understanding.
And this year, I think it's still going to be outside with kind of nobody there except... 20,000 troops or something. Whatever. Bizarre stuff. Anyway, Dow futures only up 23. Individual stocks in the Dow. Boeing's up $1.49. Goldman Sachs up 160. Goldman Sachs, who paid Janet Yellen to come talk there, is up 160. Home Depot's up 161. United Health down 289. They had earnings last night that obviously disappointed a little bit, but still, stocks 349, so nothing horrible there. In Europe, we've got DAX up 68.5%, FTSE down 2. Let's call that flat. That's 2 days in a row. FTSE's been darn near flat. CAC around up 18.3%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 110.4%. Nikkei's been very volatile, but to the upside. It was up like 2% yesterday. Shanghai up 16.5%. Hang Seng up 3.21%. That's 2 days in a row and Hang Seng's been up strong. As a way of review, yesterday the Dow was up 116, the S&P up 30, NASDAQ 198. So pretty strong day to come off that down week last week. Bonds 1.10, maybe close to 1.11. The Bund minus 0.52. Japan 10-year positive 0.04. So all this up and down in the Japanese stock market, it's astounding that their bond rate has stayed exactly even. Whether it goes up, whether it goes down, doesn't seem to affect it at all, which is really, really odd. Oil up 50 cents, 53.48. Brent up 44 cents, 56.34. Natural gas down 7 cents, 247. He must have must be like a new weather report, Matty, saying things are going to be a little less cold or something. RBOB up a penny, 154. And we've got gold up 7.10, 18.47, trying to make it back to 18.50, but it's been really stuck in this range. Silver up 5 cents, 25.37. Copper unchanged at 363. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Nice and quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. We did get some snow in the evening yesterday, just a couple of inches, but enough to slow down some of the side streets and off-ramps and things like that. So keep that in mind as you're heading out. But the expressways are all clear, and we're not seeing much for delays or accidents to speak of, so that's good news. We do have an issue down south, the Bishop Ford on the outbound side at Sibley Boulevard. The entrance ramp is closed to that outbound Bishop Ford due to some road work that's going on Sibley and that exit ramp or entrance ramp until it looks like about 7 a.m. So another 25 minutes or so, and then that's supposed to open up. So keep that in mind if that's your area to get on the Bishop Ford. But everything else quiet out there. Weather today, overcast and cold, a high of 32 with wind chills in the teens. Right now it is mostly cloudy and 16 degrees downtown with a wind chill of 6 above zero. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 71. Right now it's overcast and 61. In sports, the Blackhawks lost last night down in South Florida, but they did earn their first point of the season, falling in overtime 5-4 to the Panthers. College hoops, it was number 22 Illinois having no issue with Penn State at home, 79-65. DePaul was blown out by Butler, 67-53.
Hey, didn't the Hawks win the first round of the Stanley Cup last year? Almost won it.
They played tough. I mean, they won a couple games, but they lost 4-2, I believe, to Vegas.
All right, so to a really good team.
Yeah, to a team that made it to the conference finals.
But the team is a shell of what it was even 4 months ago, 5 months ago.
Well, not having Taves is obviously big. I don't know their roster that well yet, so I don't know.
Well, they're down the goalie. The goalie was special. Now they got three young guys fighting for a job, going like every third night, which is weird. Was it two guys? But I think they got three people that have already played in goal. They were mentioning three names last night. The guy last night, I forget his name, and then Subban played, because I was wondering if he was the son or, not the son, or the younger brother of the other Subban that is a defenseman.
Was really good. Subban?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because he's been around a while. I mean, is this the younger brother? Yeah. He's quite a bit younger. But, I see Duncan Keith and maybe one other guy back there, and I don't know. I don't really recognize any of the other people. The Brinkett, I do.
They have Shaw back, right? Brought him back last year, and he's still solid. But, yeah, they're not expected to be very good. Last year they got sort of a weird invite to the playoffs in spite of not being a playoff team in normal circumstances. But they got invited to the bubble as the worst team in the bubble, and they actually played tough in that first round.
How did they manage to pull that off? They had the worst record that made it in, right?
Yes.
They had the eighth seed or something?
Yeah, that's right.
What are you guys hearing? I've got my Elves. And of course, I don't know if I can trust these numbers, but I've heard numbers in Major League Baseball, like the whole... Now, of course, they're going to throw everything in here with the kitchen sink to try and get help or something, but I've heard numbers of like $10 billion league-wide losses last year. I mean, are you guys... Is that where you guys are in this? I mean,
I've heard big losses. I don't know a number, though.
Well, they're the only sport... I mean, hockey you would put in this category, too, but baseball relies on in-game attendance more than the other... basketball and football probably combined. They don't have the big TV contract, and they play every day. And so they need, they play every day, they need fans in the seats, and that's how they make their money. Whereas, football and basketball have these massive TV contracts and massive international audiences, and they don't even need to play every day. They play, football once a week, basketball two times, maybe three times a week. And they can survive, a little blip like this. Baseball, it killed them to not play. Or to play abbreviatedly without fans.
Well, from what I understand, and this is maybe have changed, but for a long period of time in football, the check you got from essentially all the channels, the Fox and everybody else, pretty much equaled the salary cap, almost the exact number. So essentially, the networks paid for the players' salaries. And through the rest of it, you were supposed to, your NFL properties, your live gate, your beer, your parking, stadium rights. Although I think they share stadium rights now, I believe. Isn't that why they're all pissed off the Bears for not selling the stadium rights? Anyway, what percentage would you say, Kevin or Matty, because even though he's doing stuff here, he can hear me. What percentage would you say that is in baseball? Is it 30%, 40%?
I wouldn't even begin to guess, but the national broadcast rights are what? It's basically it's ESPN doing the Sunday night games, maybe some and
Fox.
Broadcast rights for playoffs and so on. But the broadcasting in baseball is mostly local.
Well, but I mean your Fox and your ESPN.
And there's only a handful of teams that make major money on local broadcast rights. The Yankees do, the Dodgers do, the Cubs, at least in the new setup, think they're going to do really, really well. I don't know if they do, but or if they will, but that's what you're seeing. It's just a different dynamic. As Matt said, when you play every day, it's a different kind of people follow it differently. People and broadcast rights track how people follow it.
Well, I'm guessing. Well, maybe what would be your number? Because it's obviously gotten quite a bit better because you don't see Kansas City being the horse that goes, the part that goes over the fence last like you did 25 years ago. So there's been some evening out that there's not the really really poor versus the really rich. There's still separation there. The Yankees and the Dodgers got a lot more, but it's not like the crummy teams have none. There's been more sharing, right?
The luxury tax and revenue sharing has helped tremendously in that regard, and I think analytics for a period of time evened the playing field a little bit, where you could get good, young, cheap players that would perform at a high level while some of the big market teams were still overpaying for free agents. And so you saw the rise of the Tampa Bays and, like you said, the Kansas Cities. They won a World Series. Pittsburgh had a little run of 3 or 4 years where they were, really competitive, and some of the smaller markets. To sustain it is really hard and almost impossible, but it has evened it out a little bit.
Is the I'll use the term demise of the minor leagues, is that going to help or hurt the small teams?
I don't think it's going to make a difference in that regard. I think it's going to hurt everyone the same. I think it's a blip that the whole league is going to have to face, and hopefully, you know, it goes back to normal this year or at worst next year.
I don't think I mentioned when Kevin was here. When you were either, Mandy, I had a checkup. I went to the doctor, so I went to the doctor, and with a kid who was doing the initial testing, you know, blood pressure and all that stuff. Turns out the kid's a baseball pitcher, Kevin, and he goes, I was at some college, and the college, you know, they're not doing it, and so I left there, and I was in medicine, so I'm doing some stuff here in case I have to have another career. He says, but because I can't even find a place to try out. He goes, it looks like I might have somebody from the Angels might be coming through town that I can at least go throw to the guy or something. He says, but by and large, I mean, there's no minor league tryouts, there's no anything. I mean, if you're supposed to be a player, what do you suppose you'd do? I mean, how does somebody? Thank you, Russell. Russell is in office here today. Very welcome. He's got a short sleeved cardigan on. He looks very good.
Would you call that a vest or a short sleeved cardigan?
I guess sort of the same thing. It's the same place. Anyway, Maddie, so how are the people who are drafted and coming out of college? Are most college baseball teams playing this year? I don't even know. They couldn't play last year.
I believe they are, but you know, we'll see how that goes.
So, well, what do you do if you think you're good enough to play? You just there's no place to try out. There's no scout to talk to. If this goes, I hope that it doesn't. But if it goes on another 2 years, what are the minor leagues going to look like? Nothing.
No, they'll still have minor leagues because your draft picks, your developmental guys have to have a place to play. The important part is that it's rare when that very, very low round draft pick comes up to the majors and has any kind of an impact. It happens, but it's rare. So now you're making a financial decision of, you know, do I need to run five minor league baseball operations to support to find that one gem, or do I just need a couple so that the guys that I know are real live prospects have a place to play for several years before they're major league ready?
Well, 80% of the guys are there just so the guys you really want have somebody to play with, right?
Right.
Yeah, and there was already a plan in place before all of this started to shave the number of minor league teams out there. They were planning on that, and I just assumed this, like everything else, accelerates it.
Now, last year in the Chicago area, the guys from Crestwood, they didn't play. The guys from Gary didn't play. The people in Schaumburg did play. So that league, instead of having 16 teams, I think went down to 8. But they did play. They were open all year. And I guess if you wanted to socially distance, you could, and whatever. They did, but they played because one of the ladies here in the office, she and her husband went to like 5 games. They loved it. It's the Schaumburg Flyers, maybe? I'm not sure what they are.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, now those guys, they're independent. Now, they're people, which you're going to end up with, because more of these independent leagues. What, you two Mavens or three Mavens, because I went and saw a team in Crestwood play like 2 years ago, and the pitcher, he pitched 7 2/3 strong innings. He had like an 89 mile an hour fastball, but he was pretty darn good. And Monday, he wasn't on the roster anymore. Somebody grabbed him. Now, what is the relationship there? If I sign Matty Weber and he, you know, I don't know what I even sign him for, what that contract looks like, and all of a sudden he looks pretty darn good in the outfield and he throws somebody out at third and gets 3 hits and somebody wants him. Now, do they have to pay me for his contract, or how does that even work?
Do they even have contracts?
I guess that'd be question number one. I mean, it's clearly not the same contract they get in Major League where they own you forever, but there must be something. I mean,
certainly, I don't think any operation would want to stand in the way of a guy getting his shot. So that's going to be kind of baked into how they do business. Whether you have to purchase rights or not, even if you do, I doubt it costs very much.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to have a stadium and I'm going to have tryouts once every 2 or 3 weeks like these guys do, and I'm going to go through all the work and provide the coaching, why should I give you Matty Weber for free? You didn't do it.
Okay.
But I don't know what the price is, but
But at this point, we're just speculating. Yes, you're right. Good theory. Okay, what's the reality of it? I don't know.
Well, because of this particular team, Lee, if you went online, they probably had. They've been there a long time. I think they've had like many. If you go to their website, I think there's like 30 guys that have signed out of there for a major league team. It's a lot. I mean, it must be part
of
the program.
Have they played the majors, or have they just signed with the team?
I bet I don't know.
And two of them got to the majors.
Well, 2 out of 30 is probably not bad at that level. What are you supposed to?
And the next question is, how many of those are former major leaguers who kind of washed out of professional baseball and took this as the last shot? Because that happens too.
Well, you know what you find, and we'll get into something. What you find is virtually everybody there has a skill of some kind. Either the guys can go get the ball in the outfield, or they got a good arm, or they're fast, or they can hit. You don't find too many guys that can do like two or three of the above. Which, I guess, what you'd expect, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hey, I have a question. This relates to the troop levels in Washington. The first one is, when did we start referring to 25,000 troops means 25,000 soldiers? I thought a troop was made up of many soldiers.
That term has been interchanged.
It's not 25,000 troops, it's 25,000 soldiers, and I don't know how many troops that is. That's become common usage lately, and it makes
sense
to me.
I'll tell you this, Kevin, I didn't know that there was a difference, so it's been common usage for a while.
Yeah, it has been, but is one guy a troop? I don't think so.
Go back to, what the hell was the movie? Trooper York. Back in the old days,
you could be a trooper. Yeah, yeah. You could have 25,000 troopers there. Trooper usually refers to a state trooper in the police.
A quick Google search says that a troop can refer to one soldier or a group of soldiers.
Yeah, not the way I ever understood the word. But the second question, and the real question I have is, what is with the fortification in Washington? This is like we're expecting a military siege. Whatever is set up is not set up for a bunch of protesters who might go off the deep end. What's going on really? Intelligence is sitting out there that has people doing this?
These guys could withstand a division attack from Russia.
And why didn't we do something like this and protect our inner cities back in the summer?
Well, that's a whole different issue.
I know
issue
it's a whole and, different issue, but, and, you know...
Yes, it's...
I mean, I know who's being protected is more important.
Can't ask Moss Evil.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you looked at the day of January 6th, it was bad day. I mean, where the people did some crazy stuff and they're dumb enough to take their own pictures. The thing that I paid for somebody's education that took a selfie of himself doing a crime, good Lord, where do we find these people?
By the way, one quick point, Chief. I am fascinated by Kevin's troop versus soldier thing. It says, there is one clarification, though, and I think this is important. It says you can say troops to refer to soldiers, but you cannot say a troop to refer to a single soldier.
I would agree with that. I would have said that even without you.
Yeah. So that I think is to Kevin's point. So you can say 25,000 troops, and that's okay to refer to 25,000 soldiers, but you cannot say one single soldier is a troop.
I think Kevin is referring.
Yeah, I would just say there's 25,000 soldiers there and leave it at that.
I think Kevin is referring to the TV show F Troop, and he's
yeah, that's exactly where I went.
and he's thinking about Wrangler Jane. Just saying.
Who isn't?
Yeah, right.
Who in our age group isn't every single day?
Oh, she was smoking hot. Oh, God, and then Captain Parmenter never had a clue. God. Anyway, did you see later on that day on the 6th? I think there's a newsman on there, and he goes, "Well, all the demonstrators, whatever you want to call them, rioters, they're all home." The amount of squad cars with the gumballs going and the amount of troops hanging around the Capitol after everybody went home was unbelievable. Why weren't they there earlier in the day?
Barn door closed too late, huh?
But, I mean, we do this all the time. I mean, in Chicago, after all the riots, you could have gone through every weekend, maybe by us. How many streets and sand guys are sitting in the hot weather in their garbage trucks? Imagine sitting in your garbage truck all day on a Saturday with the motor running. in case riders show up so you could pull the garbage truck into the street?
It wasn't pleasant to go to my coffee shop with the six dump trunks in front of it.
No.
It smelled so bad that the coffee seemed unappetizing.
Yeah. I mean, and we did that for how long? And how many nights do we have the bridge up? The bridge is up. I mean, talk about killing your downtown area.
Oh, they have.
But the reason I brought this up is I just think it's really, it's strange. It's like we're overkilling this. We're either overkilling it because then, I don't know, I'm just speculating at this point. Maybe we can say, well, if we have this kind of a show of force, we can keep things under control. So we'll make this kind of a show of force normal. That's possible, I suppose. Or there is some other kind of threat. Somebody is aware of something that is major, and they have a deployment commensurate with it, and we do not know what that is. Because this is not in any way proportionate to the threat of the 6th.
Well, way back in the day, after the 68 riots, Kevin, as you probably are aware, I don't know, but we, the U.S.'s of A, actually did a study on essentially riots. And one of the conclusions that came out, if you want to stop a riot, which we didn't do here in Chicago, you need huge force right at the gate. So the first 100 rioters show up, you meet those guys with 500 people, and then the thing doesn't accelerate. If you have 10 guys and they start growing, doubling, and you start doubling, you never catch up, was the conclusion of that study. So obviously, they're way over the top on this one. What do you think about the 12 guys that got sent home because they said bad stuff on their Facebook? So we have a team of people in Washington are capable of going through 20,000 people's Facebook and Twitter stuff. Is all that stuff public knowledge? Or you need a warrant for everybody?
No, it's publicly posted. All you have to do is, you just basically screen scrape everything that anybody's ever done and have it, you know, have your algorithm search for words.
Does everybody use their own name on Twitter?
That outsorts what you have to manually review.
But, I mean, does everybody use their own name on Twitter?
So I don't.
Yeah, so how the hell would you find out?
That's why I'm a big pusher of all kinds of conspiracy theories under my pseudonym.
Well, I can imagine it.
Yeah. Rusty Rod.
don't even want to know what that's supposed to mean.
Chicka Chow.
That would not, ladies reading that would not think you were, you're somebody you want to go out with. Let's put it that way.
So. There. Everybody's speechless. I love it. I'm so good at what I do.
You could have had like you could have had like Creaky Rod or something. or Once in a While Rod. Yeah. Hey, whatever.
Sleepy Rod is actually at this age.
Anyway. But I mean, how long does it, I mean? I was mesmerized by that.
Don't you love it when Russell and I are here together?
Oh yeah, you guys are.
The show just degenerates into no good.
Well, it is something funny. Maybe that's what we need is a laugh, for God's sake. But how long? I mean, how would you even go about 20,000 people checking all their stuff? I mean, I have no idea what that entails. So I'm asking. I'm like a third grader here. Right?
Well, like I said, it's the first pass is automated, and then you just outsort everything that flags, and the stuff that flags, then you can manually review it if you need to.
You know, I honestly...
And it might be multiple passes that outsort.
Actually, what I'm wondering is I'm wondering if, you know, there's constant monitoring of our social media, and they're keeping a sharper eye on people that say things that might be a red flag, and they just did a cross-reference of lists instead of going through, you know, 25,000 individual social media posts.
You obviously are not a studier or never read any of, is it Frederick Forsyth? Who's the guy that did, he wrote, Forsyth's his last name. I don't know what the hell his first name was. But he wrote a lot of these, spy novels. He didn't write the Day of the Jackal, did he? Was that,
It is Frederick, you're right.
Yeah, but what did he write, man? I read his stuff, but anyway, in there, they claim that all your...
The Day of the Jackal is a big one that he wrote.
Yeah, and what was the other one? I wrote one where somebody was a mercenary and a...
Yeah, his notable works, The Day of the Jackal, The Odessa File, The Dogs of War, Fourth Protocol, The Fist of God, and The Black Aeroplane.
I think I read, there was, it might have been The Fourth Protocol, but I read all those. But The Day of the... Dogs of War was spectacular. I mean, if you've never read that, you should. But anyway, if you read The Day of the Jackal and you compare it to, like Lee Harvey Oswald, you do wonder. I mean, when you talk about the preparation and stuff. But anyway, now he's not the guy I'm talking about. But whoever it was, his hero was out, and all of a sudden he was like a spy out. He was like Richard Burton, and a spy out came in from the cold. And all he did was, when he wanted to be located, he got on the phone and he said something like, I think I'm going to go assassinate, whatever, De Gaulle or something. Immediately, that was picked up. It was there's like, you know, 20 phrases. Like, everybody's phone calls, according to this thing, are always being somewhat monitored. But the thing that gets them, there's like 10 catchwords. That one of them, if you start blurting out on your phone that you're gonna go blow up the president, believe it or not, I mean, somebody's liable to find you, according to this.
You'll have visitors shortly.
Yeah. You know, and I think most people wouldn't even joke about something like that. I mean, why would you? But I mean, if you're dumb enough, but anyway, according to him, that this has been going on for a while. That if you know, I don't know if that's true or not, plus I don't know what the, but then you compare that to, the guy who wrote, Clear and Present Danger or whatever, where you start talking about, I mean, who actually goes through? There's probably, 50 million satellite pictures a day? Taking the pictures is one thing. Looking at them is quite another. I mean, who the hell looks at them? Because it was the Harrison Ford character. They said, yeah, well, we can shift the satellite over North Africa and look for the people that are after you. But by the way, you got to come in at night and look at the photos. We don't have anybody can do it. I mean,
Tom, you need to read up on big data analytics.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, I don't understand. Every time you and Russell are on, I always try to get into this because I really want to learn more. It's not that I'm quizzing. I mean, I wonder, how do you do it? I mean, it's...
Oh, well, we can talk about that on Friday if you want. I'm actually doing a short section of a class tomorrow on it because, big data analytics is a big part of supply chain management. So, I just repeat the lecture.
All right, bud. Well, we'll talk about that on Friday. SP Futures up 15.25. NASDAQ Futures up 121. We're Fari is threatening to call in for 5 or 10 minutes, Matty, to try and gloat about how Trump ruined the Republican Party as he predicted. So it's only going to be for a few minutes, but be nice to talk to Fari for a little bit.
Sure.
Anyway, we'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks. Russell's
Are
all happy over there.
Millions of people who suffer with pain. Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body, too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Something happening here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Russell Rhodes, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 15, NASDAQ futures up 118 as Janet Yellen advised us to go big. Hey, Maddie, I'm not giving you grief. It's like you know this stuff because like you've been incarcerated, which you haven't. It looks like a lot of Trump's pardons are for nonviolent drug offenses.
A lot.
What would get you a federal drug conviction versus a state? I mean, you went across state lines or what?
I honestly think some of these things are state convictions. I mean, I'm just reading through them very quickly, but I think a pardon is all encompassing. It doesn't matter if it was something they did that they got convicted at the state level or the federal level. Because a lot of these things are, you know, and I stayed up late waiting for the call, and I didn't get the call for my pardon. So I'm a little tired.
Well, you didn't do anything. You got to do
you
something.
You don't know what I've done.
Well, some people can get pardoned for stuff that they didn't do yet. I mean, they didn't even know they did, like Tricky Dick.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one of those? Get-out-of-jail-free card for the future?
Yes. I don't think you get a future. I think if you do something tomorrow, you're unpardoned.
Yeah. Selling drugs federally versus a state crime is based on the quantity, the type of drug, and whether you cross state lines.
Okay. Right. Some of these people are like, you know, first-time nonviolent drug offenders. So I think there's some state convictions in here as well.
But there is a pardon. I'm not going to say group, but there's a pardon process, right? I mean, if we were to say, you know, we need Matty Weber to get a pardon, there's an application that goes someplace that studies it, and then they give an up or down recommendation to the president, right? Mm-hmm.
He's got one here that was recommended by Harry Reid. A lot of these were recommended by Democrats, which I don't think anybody will ever, you know, that won't be highlighted. It'll just be that Bannon.
Well, Blago had to be.
Right. Yeah. Blago. Well, I think Blago has switched sides because his side. I think he's. And you know, I think that the Democratic Party probably really doesn't want him back as some sort of leader.
Well, this is. I know everybody thinks that this has just happened today. Mm-hmm. We first started the show when he still used to work downtown. We had a really good guest named Kevin Reardon. Terrific guy.
Yeah.
And we would stop for an adult beverage over at the series, and Kevin would say, you know what, Chief, you're a moderate Democrat, and I sense that you have disillusionment about your party, and I'm a moderate Republican, and I don't know where these guys are coming from. What exactly are we supposed to do now? You know what? That had to be 8 years ago, and the question is still in my mind. What are the people that are in the middle supposed to do?
You're supposed to join the Libertarian Party. You're supposed to come along with us.
Well, we're
the hedgehogs.
If you actually were in the party instead of paid lip service to it, my friend.
I am in the party. I pay money. I'm actually taking a role on an advisory board.
Okay, but we don't want.
I am in the party.
But we don't want. Well, okay, but if I join the party, I don't want those leaders. If you were the leader, that's fine.
Well, thank you.
But I'm saying we if we're going to be a threat, we got to clean house.
Yeah, Joe Jorgensen would have been an awesome president. She'd have been the best.
But I'm saying they didn't do squat in the last 4 years. We would have
no,
right?
No.
They actually lost percentage based on what Gary Johnson won.
I believe,
right?
Yeah, and honestly, I think that's because there was a lot more concern with respect to who won this time as opposed to last time. I think last time everybody thought it was a certainty, and this time, even though I felt like it was pretty much a certainty, it was going to be Biden. That a lot of people were uncertain, and they think of the Libertarian Party as a throwaway vote.
I think that's a really good point. I think that's exactly what it was.
That's, of course, being losing is coming in under that 5%. being a loser, the first thing I'm going to do is start trying to come up with the reasons that it happened. And that was my initial reason. And I was disappointed.
I know people, for a fact, that voted for Gary Johnson because they didn't like Hillary or Trump.
Yeah.
But thought Hillary would probably win. I'll vote for Gary Johnson. And then this time voted for Biden because they were like, I don't like Biden, but I'm not dealing with another 4 years of Trump.
So. Manny, you know somebody to write in with every morning you do that.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
But also, I also wanted...
I don't believe you voted for Biden, but...
No, God, no.
Exactly. So I don't write in with someone that did that.
I voted for the Libertarian both times.
No, what I just said was, I know people that voted for Libertarian 4 years ago and then switched and voted for Biden because they knew that it was serious this time.
Well, I think we need a serious third party. I really do.
We do need a serious third party. And if Fari is correct, which apparently... And Fari has been saying that Trump has basically ruined the Republican Party. That might be a possibility that we get a third party, but we may have you know the Republicans and the Libertarians as minority parties, and you know the Democrats is the only one that really could be considered a large party.
Democrats, there's a lot of people there that would I think whoever the party is, you got to start today.
You do, and you know that's exact. You, it's like we're sharing a brain since I'm in the same room, but that's the exact thought that I was having is, don't make the big push and go around in the bus when everybody's paying attention to the two major candidates. Now is the time to start getting people's attention.
And you know what you need? You need 4 or 5 senators to win.
Yeah.
You don't need 50.
I might run for Congress in my district as the Libertarian. We're kicking it around at the Rhodes household. So I might do that. So then you can interview a...
So I got to move out there to get you 2 votes?
I don't know. With gerrymandering, you and I are probably in the same district.
No, I'm with, what's his name, Mike Quigley.
I actually don't know who my guy is.
I think you're, what's her name?
No. She got gerrymandered out when we lost...
You're not Danny Davis.
No. It's not. I know who you're thinking of, and she because what? I actually went to an estate sale at her house in Hinsdale.
Where do you live?
I live in Clarendon Hills now. Yeah. I was in Hinsdale. I moved to Clarendon Hills, and when I was in Hinsdale, I was in the Cook County part of Hinsdale, which actually put me in Bobby Rush's district.
Oh yeah, it's all.
And if anybody's not from the Chicago area, and Hinsdale is one of those neighborhoods that everybody takes a little breath when they hear that you live out there. Trust me, I lived in the on the wrong side of the tracks in Hinsdale. I could see 294 and the Metro train 96 times a day from my bedroom window. I wasn't in one of those great big houses out
Manny,
there.
Manny, if you can find out where who his representative is, the guy who's going to run for office, I don't even know who the hell he's running against.
I don't know, some dude.
Do we have Fari?
We do.
Fari, what's up, buddy?
Hello. Hey, this is Fari. How are you guys doing?
We know it's you.
Well, you know it's me, Bravo.
Hey, Fari, it's Russell. Long time
hey,
no see.
Russell,
speak,
what's going on, buddy.
Not much. I miss hearing from you.
Well, you know, I've been trying to get this con man out of the White House. It looks like
I think you single-handedly did it with your daily bashing of him.
I have to,
yeah,
because I came to this country because I read the Constitution when I was about 10 years old. My dad, as you know, would fly back and forth with me to Israel for Iran. I told him one day, give me a copy of this thing. He goes, what is this for? He didn't know. I said, Dad, just get it for me. Don't ask questions. His father brings it in. I read it. I said, Dad, I want to go there. This is it. This is the country. He goes, what? You can't say that. I fly with the Shah. You can't say that. Wait, I've worked 30 years in the Air Force. You can't say this. I'm a high-ranking officer. How can his son say this? I said, Dad, this is the experiment of the ages. We got to go there. I'm going there. Well, 3 years later, Shah, he went on his flights with Dad, says, I've decided you're going to be our Air Force attaché in Washington. We'll take care of your son, my younger brother, who had some medical issues, because it would be near Walter Reed. And so I've decided you got to go. And my dad says, but Your Majesty, I'm a pilot. You spent a lot of money on me. I shouldn't be a desk jockey. He goes, listen, I'm about to rearm Iran. We need somebody like you over there, and you take care of your son. This is my final decision. Don't argue. And that was it. We came here.
And here you are.
Now, this guy who took an oath to this office, okay, to oath to this Constitution, tore every piece of it out. And when I was complaining about it a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I got banished on the internet by everybody and anybody who was a Trumpkin or pseudo-Trumpkin or pseudo-Republican, including one of your hosts, Kevin. I was very disheartened by that because I think I read the Constitution correctly. This is not a cult. You can't have a cult. This is a democracy. Democracy means rule of the majority. And finally, this day is coming through. I'm a Republican. Still, always be a Republican. Furry, on a B-2 bomber.
Furry, it's easy. To,
on a B-2 bomber.
Furry, it's easy to take an oath on a Constitution you never read. Look how many people take oaths on Bibles they never read.
That's true.
I know. That's the sad part. Listen, you know, we took an oath also to the Constitution at Northrop. When you're on a black project, you have no idea what restrictions we have. You just can't do anything you want. And he just went, no, I could do anything I want. Article 2 says this. Really? Did you read the Article 2? Did you even understand it? And so anyhow, I'm glad. I just want to come back and say, hey, guys, I moved. I'm near the beach, about to buy a speedboat. Life is good. No complaints. Fund is doing really well. I'm just glad to see this day. Finally, we're kicking him out. And you know why he's leaving so early? Because he doesn't want to be served. There are 67 indictments coming to him. The moment the OLC cannot protect him anymore, which would be 12 o'clock today. So he's going to hide in Mar-a-Lago. I'm going to go up. He doesn't want this. Maybe the Air Force One or two. I mean, this is crazy, obviously. He could never do that and they would not fly it. But to Cuba or something. But this guy's a marked man. They're going to be after him. He lied about his taxes, his net worth. He lied about his marriage. Everything is a lie, 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 lie. Hopefully, the outcome of this would be some of the Trumpians wake up and understand how he lied to all of us. Remember, I was anti. Matt knows. Ask Matt. I was anti Clinton. I was driven towards him because I was so scared of Clinton. But by the time he and you go back to interviews, you'll see my attitude change when he fired Comey. You just do not fire the head of FBI who's there for 10 years and is also investigating you. Something is wrong. I'm not saying Comey didn't make mistakes. Obviously, he did make mistakes with Clinton. But the year before that, you know, it was the 4th of July of 16. But you just do not fire a head of FBI because they're investigating you.
You
and
do
that
really,
was for me was it. And then when Mueller came in, he went to Princeton and my club was a member of College Club. I knew he was going to clean up his clock. And guess what? He brought Barr in to, you know, sugarcoat that, you know, whatever you turn it, make his own interpretation. And that's why he became a consigliere, not a attorney general. So I'm glad all those good days are over, and we're going to clean house.
Yeah, but you know what's not over, Ferry? Is he? I understand he just bought a huge yacht, and he's going to park it right next to your speedboat.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm picturing.
He's having a hard time staying in Mar-a-Lago. I don't even let him in Naples. Remember, Naples is old money. Naples is the old money of Florida. They won't let any idiot like him. As a matter of fact, I have a friend in Palm Beach that says, "Don't let all that excited about him come here at all."
Do you guys kind of picture Rodney Dangerfield and Ted Knight or whatever from you know with Farhi having a little speedboat and Trump in the big boat just plowing into him?
Hey, you scratch my anchor.
Be small. Yeah. Wait, who said my speedboat is going to be small? You know my rate of return.
Yeah. So hey, Farhi, he's a couple of things. He in any second now the helicopter's taken off. But
yes.
I do for those of us that are in pools as to the over under when
yes.
does she file for divorce? They were holding hands the whole walk to the helicopter. So maybe she renegotiated that prenup once again.
Stormy,
yeah,
she was no Stormy. The gal after that, the Playboy bunny, she was pregnant with Barron. And he was having an affair with her for a year. No, she's filing today.
Yeah.
Filing today?
Today. Maybe that's what she... But they were actually holding hands the whole walk to the helicopter. I was absolutely shocked.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it right now. I guess maybe I missed it. I'll bring it back. It's on DVR.
Or maybe he just whispered, 100K if you hold my hand for the next 15 seconds. Because apparently he's used to paying for lots of things.
All front, no substance.
Yeah.
And we all fell for it. We all fell for it. Everything said he was like, the biggest problem I have with this guy, what he did with Putin. To me, that's treason. I work on black projects. Do you understand what our mission was? With two guys over in Moscow, undetected until they opened the Bombay doors. Not a joke. And for him to let Putin go that easily, at Helsinki, on the bounty, and now with this massive, massive attack on our cyber systems. No. That's treason. I would send him to Gitmo, awaiting a tribunal.
Gitmo, you can stay there forever. All right, Fari, thank you very much, buddy. Hey, what do you think about...
Great day is coming. Salute to all of you.
All right, take care of yourself.
Good work.
Hey, when you get the yacht, you still owe us an invite. Great guy. Where was our invite?
Yeah.
So how do you go for a yacht?
He has been getting the yacht or speedboat for a while now.
But the yacht was going to be big enough for you and I to go down there, Mitty, with our significant others. And now we're down to a speedboat. Are we supposed to sleep on a deck?
I like that he's fired up.
He's always fired up. Oh, my God.
He is.
Last time I was with Fari, he took me to a TGI Fridays down in Florida.
Did you have a rockin' hot nacho, or what'd you have?
No, I had those really good, they used to have those really good kind of rectangle-looking fried cheese sticks.
Oh, that does sound good.
And he didn't bring the dog.
Did he at least pay?
He did pay.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Did he leave a tip?
I didn't. Should I have paid closer attention?
Some people you do have to.
Okay.
I have a couple guys.
At least tip at the TGI Fridays.
I have a couple guys, whenever we go like for an adult beverage, and they say, well, it's my turn to buy. I said, I'll leave the tip. I always make sure, because otherwise I don't want the girls being stiffed at a table I'm at.
Yeah, especially if your card's down.
Well, it was the other guy's card's down. But you start going to a place where the places have been closed and they're buying you a drink.
No, I'm more worried about if I say I'll pay and they say, okay, I'll leave the tip. I'm more worried about that. My card's down. It reflects on me.
Yeah, you can't do it. Just say, put some money in and I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that. No, you can't. So then I get the, how come I'm always paying and you're the one who the waitress likes? I said, that's just the way it goes. what can you say? But I think that a lot of people felt that way, feel that way about Trump. But you cannot, let's put it this way. How am I going to, and Maddie is misinterpreting this, unfortunately, because nobody I like more than Maddie. Is my appreciation for the skill set and how people get to where they get despite obvious issues with them. Read Stalin, Hitler, people like that. You cannot just brush them away because there's a skill set that gets them there when you're not there.
Yeah.
So the fact that Trump was able to zero in on the incredible hurt in this country from an awful lot of classes of people, you can't toss that baby out with the bathwater. You can't, because the hurt is still there. It's just like in the 20s, anybody who could have zeroed in on what was going on in the rural areas and other areas that were in a full depression, even though Wall Street was going up every day and cars were getting better by the second and people driving around in Duesenbergs and God knows what. Underneath that was a massive mess, okay? And there's people that have the skill set to tap into that. And Trump did. And the fact is that now he's gone, and this idea that we're going back to the normalcy that he pointed out to people on a national stage. Trump pointed out a lot of stuff on a national stage that, Maddie, we've done on this show for 10 years. Yet we're on this show, and he became president. So you can't...
What did he point out?
He pointed out how...
The absolute frustration that a big number of people in the United States have with thinking they're doing the right thing, thinking, being sold this bill of goods that if they, do well in school, go get, a good job, work hard, that they'll be able to take their 2 weeks off every year, have a nice vacation, drive a decent car, and
take care
and
of their
retire
family. Yeah.
And take care of their family. And then they see from their perspective, they're, well-paying manufacturing job moving over to China, and now they're happy if they can get a you know, a job at Walmart being a greeter or something like that at about half of what they were making before. And kind of like when I was talking about...
Trump pointed that out?
No, no.
The billionaire? No, Bernie Sanders pointed that out.
Well, no,
Trump didn't point anything out from Mar-a-Lago at his private resort.
Well, I'm just saying this is the kind of frustration that he tapped into.
He tapped into it.
I'm not saying he pointed out. I'm just saying he tapped into and what he benefited from.
He pointed out the fact that Washington was the enemy.
Yeah.
And an awful lot of people.
And that they weren't helping. Yeah. Actually, what I was going to finish with was, and that your government is not helping you in this situation. It doesn't even seem to be on your side. They seem to be more globalists and okay with, you know, with this happening to you. And I think that's what he tapped into. And Sanders does the exact same thing. I'm just saying the circumstances, and he took advantage of it. And like Chief said, we talk about the exact same things here on a pretty regular basis. And I'm here wandering the loop early in the morning trying to find one coffee shop that's open.
Yeah.
So, I'm talking about the circumstances, and that's what he benefited from. I had my sister down in Memphis, who I bring up every once in a while, but she is a very blue collar person, and called me last Wednesday evening and said, "Why do people do this?" And I basically gave her the explanation that we just went through over the last 5 minutes here, and she couldn't really argue with that at all. She's a huge liberal person, but I just said that's the kind of frustration that people are tapping into, and I think one of the ways that anybody does well in politics is they point out, they make sure you know who's your enemy and who's not on your side, and then you tell them that you are going to be on their side, and that's really how he rallied people to his side, and I think that's why there was so much frustration that spilled over into what happened last week was. There or was it 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah, two weeks ago.
Gosh, time is so messed up.
From today,
when you don't leave the house for 10 days, you don't know what's going on. I think that was kind of the kindling there that got people extremely fired up. Needless to say, there's no excuse for what ended up happening.
I think he was on a stage with 12 other Republicans who were complete boobs. Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio alike. And he was just the guy that shouted insults and was funny, and then all of a sudden, he was the nominee, and everyone's like, "Oh, well, I guess this is our guy now." And then people just thought it was entertainment, and he just kept insulting people, and he was funny in press conferences. I mean, I thought he was funny in press conferences, and he pointed out the absurdity of things. I don't think he got a single thing done. I don't think he cared about any of those people at all.
The fact
that they couldn't see through that is humorous to me. But
the big criticism that I have of your logic on this, and you and I could fight about it all we want, but the big criticism is what you're seriously missing, and I'm dead serious about this, is when you go through life and nobody even knows the pain you have in your mind, and one person tells you, "Oh yeah, I know these guys are screwing you up." You're going to listen to that person because he's the first person who ever said, "By the way, you got a bone sticking out of your leg. Maybe we should fix your broken leg."
Give me an example of that.
What I'm saying, I'm giving you one.
Trump. I know. What did he do? Give me an example of him.
I just said there's two stages. One is the person at least recognizes or tells you he recognizes your issue. Okay, so you immediately want to follow him because he's the first person that even talks the same language. Now you're talking about the second step. Did he follow through on it? The answer is no. But then all of a sudden there's people that said, well, he would have if the press and all the Democrats weren't against him from day one.
But he didn't do anything different than any other politician. They all point out the fact that wages have been stagnant for 20 plus years, that all of our jobs are overseas, that the minimum wage is not livable, that healthcare is unaffordable and the healthcare companies are making too much money, the insurance companies, they all say the same things. He didn't say anything different.
I'm saying, but don't.
So I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Your
what did he say differently?
Your ability. Let's not talk about him. Let's talk about Germany.
They all say that.
Okay. My point is, and I'm trying to, and I'm making this point.
He just made it okay to insult
what I'm saying
people,
is,
and a lot of people.
Matty, let me finish this, please. 1932 in Germany. The place is a bleep hole. You can't go down the street without getting mugged. It's horrible. There's got to be 100 political parties. Out of that whole mess comes this ugly guy with a mustache, and all these other people get out of the way, and he's in charge. The guy ended up being the most horrible human being ever. But don't ever think that there wasn't an amazing skill set how he came to the top of that huge mess. Trump didn't just get up there. He said the right thing for that people wanted to hear. I never liked the guy, ever. But I don't think that could have been us, because it wasn't. You can't say he has no skill set. He did.
I never said he didn't have a skill set.
Because he
at
said,
all. I told you what a skill set was.
Okay, but listen to Michael Moore's tape. Everybody's sitting here. They don't have the boat anymore. The wife dumped them. They don't have the second car. They got a mortgage on their house. They used to make $35 an hour. Now they're making $15. And this guy says, I'm going to change it. And by the way, these bleeps in Washington are the people that did this to you. Everybody wanted to hear it. I mean, all morning today, do you think for a nanosecond that Janet Yellen, after getting all this money from these other places, and I've watched in my industry in the last 10 years, how many firms the size of PTI have gone out of business? Thank God we're still here, because we're good at what we do, and our people like it. Do you think for a second that one of those people is on her radar at all? They didn't give her any check. So that's what he railed against. He didn't do anything good about it, and the guy's a boob, but the fact is, he said it. Name me one of these other people. Now, one senator yesterday, talking to her, said, by the way, how the hell can you have this job when you got money from everybody you're supposed to be? Now, if Trump was one of the senators, or Ted Cruz, or one of these other guys who I can't stand, they're at least liable to say something like that. What about these other boobs? What are they doing? Why should she have that job?
You're right. Those guys don't exploit people for money either.
I didn't say they didn't.
Trump and Cruz.
Did I say that?
You just said they would have asked those questions, like they're above that.
Not because they're above it.
All of these politicians do that. It's horrific. It's a huge problem.
You know, my big hope 4 years ago was that a different group of people would start to get involved in politics.
Me too.
Would be some outsiders. You know, when Howard Schultz from Starbucks said he was, you know, was going to run, and then he got just absolutely obliterated in his first couple of weeks of going out and speaking to people, and he just said, I'm not doing this.
Now, why does he get obliterated?
He just got screamed at, shouted down. Well, because people from, because the thinking was that he would pull people away from whoever the Democratic nominee was and allow Trump a second term. That was the mentality of people shouting him down, whether it was right or not. But that's what happened was I can remember seeing this poor guy at a couple of, a couple of things where he stands up to talk a little bit, and then, you know, somebody that's very upset by the fact that he's running and it's gonna benefit Trump just starts screaming F-bombs at him and going off on him. And he probably was like, you know what, this ain't worth it.
No.
And walked away from it. And you know what? That's really why I would, you know, I said we kick it around a little bit at the Rhodes household. I don't want people yelling at me. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
It hurts my feelings.
But who are the people that orchestrate that?
People, I assume that the political operatives at the different, at the different parties.
I'm certain the Democrat that
different people that you know work on the various elections in the different localities that Howard Schultz went to probably were like, we got to go, you know, we've got to go do our thing when he's trying to speak, because he's going to end up taking votes away from whoever our guy ends up being or girl ends up being.
When we come back from break, I'm going to tell you a quick story.
Okay.
Of the
quicker than Fari in the speedboat?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think this,
a children's book. Well, I think Captain Tico and his Chihuahua speedboat.
Because some of the stuff is not good. Not good, and it's not new. SP Futures up 18, NASDAQ Futures up 121. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities.
Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Russell Rhodes, Mr. Matt Weber. Interesting show this morning. All kinds of stuff going down. But it's an interesting day. We're just watching Trump's 21-gun salute. I thought they weren't going to give him that, Matty. No, he's got it. Very bizarre. S&P futures up 17. NASDAQ futures up 120. Do you think we've come a long way from Harry and Bess Truman hanging for the inauguration? When it was over, they went downstairs, got in their own car, and drove back to Missouri, do you think?
I thought he had to hitchhike.
He in his own car.
the story just gets that he was poorer and poorer. That's all.
Well, that's why they had a pension for presidents. Anyway, because he was in Congress forever when they didn't make $1 million and they didn't feed business to his wife.
Yeah.
God, the good old days. Dow futures up 100. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 86.6%. FTSE down 3. Call that flat. Kekkonen up 17.3%. So a little bullish there. In Asia, we got the Nikkei down 110, but they were up huge yesterday, so I wouldn't count that as a negative. Shanghai up, well, I guess if you're long, it's negative. Shanghai up 16.5%. Hang Seng up 321%. The Hang Seng has been going wild the last few days, Russell. Maybe we'll give you a comment on that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Bonds, 10-year yield 1.10. The bond minus 0.52 in Japan. Also comment on this. Why their market goes up, down, all over the place in this. Their 10-year yield is stuck on minus or positive 0.04 no matter what happens. Oil up 51 cents, 53.49. Brent up 42 cents, 56.32. Natural gas down 7, 247. And RBOB 154. There must have been a rollover in this natural gas because it was like 270 yesterday, wasn't it? There must have been a rollover in months here or something. Gold down 120, was up earlier. Silver down 3 cents. They were both up pretty much earlier. Copper unchanged. It was up earlier. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. So we're having some accidents starting to surface here throughout the area as traffic volumes pick up, and there are still some snow-covered and slick conditions on some of the side streets, but we'll get into those in a minute. We have a crash on the Eisenhower inbound side at Harlem.
That's causing significant congestion coming in on I-290, so keep that in mind if you're coming in from the western suburbs on I-290. You'll start to experience some slowdown as you approach Harlem. Also down south, I-57, on the outbound side at Valmer Road, there's a crash that's been moved to the right shoulder, and that's causing some delays. And then on the Stevenson way out on I-55 down outside southwest suburbs, we have a crash on the northbound side just before Black Road that's blocking the left lane. And then on the southbound side before I-80, there's a crash blocking the left lane. So a couple of issues on I-55 down in the southwestern suburbs. And then in the northern suburbs, there's a serious crash that has Rand Road closed between Illinois 53 and Hintz Road. A serious accident, they're saying, with emergency crews on the scene that's causing some issues. So give yourself plenty of time as you're heading out this morning. We did get a couple of inches of snow last night that are causing some havoc on some of the side streets and off-ramps. Weather today, it's going to be cold. It's mostly clear early, but just 16 degrees downtown and wind chills in the low single digits. We'll go up to an overcast high of 32 with wind chills in the low 20s. Right now, it is mostly clear and 16 downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 71 today. Right now it's overcast and 62. In sports, the Blackhawks took Florida to overtime last night, but fell to the Panthers 5-4. Hawks did earn their first point of the season. They're in last place in their division. College hoops, Illinois, number 22 in the country, had no problem with Penn State at home. 79-65 was the final in that one. DePaul lost to Butler 67-53.
Gee, Manny, when it checks out, what do you like in the Big Ten? I mean, Illinois, I think, is still kind of finding their way a little bit. Iowa looks obviously good. I'm not so sure Michigan State's out of it. I mean, I would never count them out either.
Yeah. I do think Michigan and Iowa are the two best teams, at least through 7-8 games into the conference season. And I watch Big Ten basketball very closely, so I watch even the bad teams. I think Michigan State, even though they're 2-4 and they've paused their program because of some COVID outbreak, I do think that they've underachieved so far and they could figure it out, but I don't think they'll win the conference. The only teams that I think can legitimately challenge Michigan or Iowa are Wisconsin and Illinois, but Illinois already has three losses, and it's going to be hard to come back when you're two games behind. But Iowa and Michigan are the class of the conference. They both have elite offenses. Iowa has the best offense in the entire country, according to KenPom. And Michigan also has a top-10 defense, so that gives them a slight advantage over Iowa. So I would say they're probably the slight favorite, but I think it's going to come down to those two. But you can never count out Wisconsin, never, and Illinois is really good as well.
I've seen Ohio State play a couple times, and they look real good both times. Are they just not that good?
They're 5-4. I mean, they're good. They're ranked 15th in the country, but in the Big Ten, that's 5-4. So the Big Ten is just so good this year. And then, you know, you have Purdue, who beat Ohio State last night. They're 6-3, and they're really young, a lot of freshmen and sophomores. They were predicted to be in the bottom, you know, 4 or 5 in the conference, and they're right now sitting in 5th place, and no one wants to play them right now. So they've been a surprise team. You had Northwestern start out at 3-0, and they've lost 5 in a row, and they've gotten blown out in all 5 games.
Hammered.
So, you know, who the hell knows what's up with them. And then Maryland has always been good since they've joined, and they're 2-6. But their two wins are at Illinois and at Wisconsin, who are two of the top four teams. So it's a strange year. You never know when your program's going to get paused or you're going to have games postponed because someone else's program is paused. So you might play 3 games in 1 week and then might not play for 2 weeks, which is weird too.
And half of them don't have any students there either now.
Did you see, I know this isn't the same conference, I mean, at least I know this much. Did you see what Florida did to Tennessee?
Yeah, I did. I bet
and
on Florida.
And Florida was missing some players.
They were missing 3 players, including their leading scorer, and they beat Tennessee, who's a top-10 team, by like 30.
Well, they beat them 75-49.
Yeah.
Is Gonzaga still a chalk or no?
Gonzaga and Baylor, I would say, are interchangeable. Gonzaga is number one in the rankings, and they're number one in KenPom. Baylor is number one in the net ranking, which is the ranking that the NCAA uses for seeding the NCAA tournament, and Gonzaga is number two. Either one of those teams looks really good. Gonzaga's better offensively. Baylor's better defensively. Baylor's played a much tougher schedule, and so I would probably side with them if I had to, but both of those teams are a step above the next tier, which is the Iowas and the Michigans and the Villanovas, in my opinion. You have Gonzaga, Baylor, and then kind of everyone else.
You know, what I'm really hoping for, you know how for the bowl games you didn't have to have a 500 record to make a bowl game or didn't have to have 6 wins or whatever?
Yeah.
I really hope they break that rule so that Kentucky can be placed in the NCAA tournament. You know, just because I worry about CBS and them not getting the ratings that they want.
So I read that.
You know, so I think they should just automatically put, you know, put Kentucky in, give them a 5 seed. Just
well, not only Kentucky. I read the other day that it was the first time since 1962, I believe, that Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky, all three are not ranked.
And they and all three may not. I've seen Duke expressed as a bubble team.
They
right
lost
now.
Again last night.
Did they? Yeah. I didn't see that.
They lost at Pittsburgh last night. They were actually down big and came back and made it interesting late, but they lost at Pittsburgh. North Carolina has not been very good. I mean, they came to Iowa and Iowa just destroyed them, and then Duke got destroyed by Illinois. So all three of those teams, Kentucky looks dreadful. I don't think Kentucky could beat anybody that's decent.
They've had a couple of times that they look okay, but
the SEC is just a really bad conference
it
for
is
basketball,
this year.
And the ACC is typically good, and it's really bad this year. So it's really the Big Ten and the Big 12 are the two elite conferences this year. The Pac-12 hasn't been relevant in, I don't know, a decade.
Well, do you want to know the best thing that happened in college basketball yesterday? And I'm certain neither of you guys know this. You know, I'm finishing my PhD at Oklahoma State, so I pay attention
somebody
to them.
Somebody got booted out and he joined.
No, the exact opposite. Oklahoma State's paused right now because of contact testing, and they actually, their walk-ons are treated a little bit differently. They don't suit up for games, and they only show up for practices. So one of the walk-ons to make ends meet was working at Walmart, and the coach showed up at Walmart and gave him a scholarship.
Oh, really? Wow.
So there.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was absolutely
wonderful.
So did he
look at the Walmart guy and say, take this job and shove it?
Who knows? Who knows if he, but then he got to FaceTime his mom and go, guess what happened? I just think that's the best thing that I saw looking through sports news yesterday.
The stipend they get, the scholarship players, is what, like $600 or $1,200 a month or something like that? That might even be more than what he's making at Walmart.
He was working at Walmart to help pay the tuition.
Oh, wow. So
This was not something to fill time. He was, you know, showing up for practices, working at Walmart.
Let's see.
But he could work for Walmart because the walk-ons were not traveling with the team.
Let's see, 75 groupers at Northwestern and Walmart paying $11 an hour. How many hours do you got to work to pay for that tuition?
A lot. Yeah.
Hey, you know, what I sense is kind of what's happening here when you're talking about the guy from Starbucks. And I think what we're finding out is that which was the Henry that said, well, nobody rid me of this meddlesome priest, and the guy went out and beheaded Thomas of Becket, and then the king was like, oh God, well, what'd you do? I didn't want you to do that, right? Mm-hmm. There was a I'm looking at these things, the making of the president, 1964, and then those kinds of things. Theodore H. White, and the deal was for years, and he's got to be dead by now, but. I haven't seen one in a while, because they would embed for lack of a better term, a journalist, in each campaign, and he was supposed to, and the deal was that he would be privy to every meeting, about every meeting, but pretty much privy to everything. But the stipulation was he wouldn't say a word about anything until after the election was over.
Mm-hmm.
So this all sort of ended in 2000 when the election quote was over, but they hadn't declared a winner, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think the book ever came out. Maddie, see if there's a Making of the President 2000. But there was a big foreword of the book, and I've got it home somewhere buried. It was either Newsweek or U.S. News, one of those things. But it was a big, thick piece in the middle of the magazine. And I read this, and it was really kind of made the hair go up in the back of your neck. And a lot of it has to do with what we've been talking about today and who's involved and who's really in charge and whether you can – fight about Trump or Biden or whatever, but you know who's the man behind the curtain? And this has been, I mean, Maddie and I think agree on that, that somebody somewhere, and the reason why I say this is that in this particular treatise, never made it to a book, manuscript, whatever the hell you want to call it, I basically said Gore's campaign was pretty much unorganized, and that if he would have gotten Bill Daley to run the campaign maybe 2 weeks sooner, he probably would have won. But the difference between 2 weeks after Daley got there and 2 weeks before, in terms of organization and people knowing what they were doing, it was like night and day. But Bush, on the other hand, the old line Republicans, you know, this is the Reagan era people. One of them was Schultz, not the Schultz, the same Schultz from, but he was Secretary of the Treasury and Secretary of State, wasn't he? I believe, Russell, under Reagan.
I know Schultz, but I mean, I know,
he's a Texas boy.
State, but I didn't know, Treasury.
I think he was Treasury too, but he, because I remember seeing him on the bills for a while. But anyway,
that's what I want.
Yeah, I don't kid your name.
I
want
to sign, I just would love to be God. The guy that signs the currency. Oh, yeah. That's the job I want.
Well, so they decide, well, they can't stand this Clinton thing. They got to do something. So they're going to find a candidate. So he got about 10 of his boys together, and they essentially interviewed people for the presidential run with their backing.
Mm-hmm.
So they get Bush in there, and they go, okay, well, the guy, he's a likable guy. If you get rid of everything he did before age 40, you know, he was liked his drugs, he likes his booze.
Yeah.
But and then he became a governor and won terms twice, so he wasn't a schlump campaigner or anything. Did a pretty good job as governor of Texas, and oh, by the way, he was the face man for a baseball team, and he loved baseball, so mm-hmm. most of America is going to like the guy. I mean, out of all the last presidents, the one guy I wouldn't mind having a beer with is probably Bush.
Probably is the most likable.
So they essentially said, okay, you're our guy. And they worked to keep the 40 minus years out of the, and they never got there. Nobody ever.
People knew that he, there was, just before the election, the October surprise on him was a New Hampshire DUI, I think.
Well, they also, there was some story about when he was in the National Guard instead of Vietnam.
Was there a worse president in our lifetime than him?
Including Carter.
Carter? You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Carter was dealt a very difficult hand to deal with.
Yeah, he was.
I think Bush, too, was dealt the easiest hand ever to deal with, and then the country completely ran into the ground.
Well,
I'm not saying that was all his fault.
Yeah, he had 9/11, and it totally usurped his presidency.
I mean, it really, like the day
and
after.
And he decided to go to war with Iraq.
Yeah. Yeah. On a credit card.
Exactly. Which made no sense. The entire economy crashed and.
Yeah. I mean, he was.
Thousands and thousands of Americans died.
But where I'm getting to here, and I believe it or not, I have a point, is that it has to do with my Thomas Beckett story, is that all of a sudden he runs. So these guys came up with, this is, 1999. They came up with the people at the table essentially came up with $35 million, which doesn't seem like nothing now. It seems like nothing now because we're into trillions. But it was a hell of a lot of money to launch a campaign in 2000 or whatever, 1999. So he goes up to New Hampshire, and he basically gets his ass kicked by McCain. And these guys have put the money up going, you did what? You couldn't beat this guy? So so a week later is Super Tuesday. And I'm going to say, I don't know, and Maddie's going to get me all over this. My suspicion is that Bush had nothing to do with this. But all of a sudden, the internet had just been starting out, right? And McCain gets vilified on the internet in... What did Super Tuesday used to be? Carolina, Georgia? How many? They don't even do that anymore, but it was a bunch of places in the South, right? Mm-hmm. So,
well, didn't South Carolina come right after New Hampshire?
But then they became Super Tuesday.
Okay.
Where a bunch of them were on the same day, and it was essentially the Tuesday after, I think. Again, this is a little mm-hmm. foggy. But all of a sudden the internet is aglow with the reason why he got out of the POW camp is because he gave secrets. And by the way, his wife was...
He's a traitor.
A wife was doing everybody while he was gone. All this kind of stuff. And so Bush wins handily in Super Tuesday, like a week after he got his butt kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because a lot of it was this negative press. And I'm going to say Bush didn't do that. Now,
is that the same thing that just happened when Bernie won handily in Iowa and New Hampshire and looked like he had some momentum and then they went south for Super Tuesday, and Biden cleaned his clock? Was it the same thing?
Well, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Oh, God, yeah.
But my point is...
The established Democratic Party doesn't want Bernie, and, they had... They knew what they wanted. They wanted Biden.
But that's what I'm saying, is it, quote, the established party? Or, now, if people push back on Janet Yellen, is it Biden that has to... Does the party do anything, or do the people who just gave her all this money saying, wait a minute, she's our girl. We don't want anybody else in there. We just gave her $7 million in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, are the people who are coming up with the money, are they doing the dirty work? Is my question to where the candidates are, they're 4 steps removed or don't even know about it?
I believe that candidates don't know what are not very aware of some of the a lot of the opposition stuff that comes out that's just the dirty crap.
But I'm saying
I don't think that somebody went to W and said, you know, we've got this, and this on McCain. Should we use it? And he said, well, yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah,
I don't think he's
right with you.
I don't think they're you know that. It's much like I don't think they're the ones that are putting together their schedule every day. You know,
well, going back to what you said, mm-hmm. if I just gave, I'll pick this year. If I just gave $5 million to Biden, and all of a sudden some schmuck from Starbucks decides he wants to be he wants to grow a big pair and run, and I know he's going to take away from the millions I just gave. Mm-hmm. I don't think I wait for a call from Joe Biden to go after the guy and plant five people in the crowd saying you're an idiot. I think I do it on my own.
Yeah. No, I'm certain. I severely doubt that any of the people that were thinking about throwing their hat in the ring for the nomination said, "Hey, we got to get this guy out of the way."
Well, I think it's all controlled.
The party.
It's all controlled by the money.
Different level.
The people that I know, and again, Maddie, throw stones at me if you want. It's your day for that. The people I know that have a real lot of money are the cheapest people I've ever met. That's the reason why they have a lot of money.
That's how they can afford a really cool Chihuahua and a speedboat.
And if somebody ponies up $20 million for Trump or Biden or anybody, the chances of them sitting by and watching some little schmuck overtake him without doing something about it are, to me, very minuscule. And I don't think the candidate has any idea that it's happening. Nor does he have the idea why the guy gave him the $20 million in the first place, what he owes him, and doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's all becoming a big cesspool. I really believe that, and I wish I didn't. There, Maddie. Now, am I trumping for somebody here, or what am I doing? Is that a fair statement?
I completely agree. We've said that all along.
Now, how do we stop it?
Complete cesspool.
How do we stop it? What is?
You have a mouse in your pocket?
I think I think Cruz has put forth term limits.
How does that stop the Janet Yellen thing? Go out and get paid off, but everybody come back.
I think it makes it a little bit more difficult.
But how
I like to believe it makes it a little bit more difficult. I always like to think the best, but the older and older I get, the harder it is to think like
so
that.
She has to get sworn or confirmed
by the Senate, right?
Well, she'll be a walk-in.
Oh, that's not going to be a problem.
She's 100 nothing.
But she'll get Republican votes, but they've got the Senate.
It'll not do. I'm just saying, why don't they care? They obviously don't care.
Manny, there's no way. That's what I've been saying now for 8 years. There's no way that the Republicans or the Democrats come up and say, you don't deserve this job because you've taken money from outside people. Good Lord. And talk about putting a finger at your own head. Right?
And when we came back from the break, you said the Hang Seng's up. We got to talk about that. The Hang Seng's up because Janet Yellen's going to go soft on China.
Yeah, I suppose.
I think that's been in the back of people's minds, and I don't know exactly what she said, but she did say something in testifying that we should be working with China instead of against them or something
So the solution to me seems very easy. It's you have to get the money out of politics. Zero contributions. If it's found that there's a campaign contribution from a private company or anything like that, you're banned.
Right, the Supreme Court just said everybody can do whatever they want. How are you going to reverse that?
Then you're never going to be able to reverse it.
Yeah,
the
problem is the Supreme Court basically says that companies are people and they have a lot of the same rights as people.
And you can't
tell people that they can't donate to a certain candidate.
You can't even tell somebody. Maybe if you become a gazillionaire someday, which you
probably
will.
Why can't you tell people that, why can't you put a legislation in place saying you cannot donate to a candidate?
You start to impede on people's rights.
Maybe this is going the wrong way. Yeah. In my lifetime, when people used to come, and Russell knows this, at the CBOE, we'd get somebody in town. No,
I used to be the person that would walk them around, and I got to walk Al Franken around. That's where that laughed me from it. Yeah, that's totally different.
I was dealing mostly with Amy. Amy, what was her last name? She was real nice. Amy Deutsch? No, Amy, what the hell was her last name?
I know, I'm picturing who you're talking about, but you're running out of time.
Oh, but anyway, they'd bring somebody, but man, the number was $1,000 is all the CBOE could give the guy who showed up. So I don't think you're going to buy Tom Foley for $1,000. It was a way of just, you know, his expenses of getting in town. He probably have three or four of those lunches and breakfasts. And I thought they were very positive. He got to meet people in industries that he ever met. I mean, for $1,000, but now it's gone way beyond that. Now,
agreed, and it's gone to the point now where, like Janet Yellen, where she was not in office, and yet you're still mad at her, which I don't disagree with you. I mean, I don't think you should take money if you plan on running for office again. But she didn't do anything wrong. I'm just saying, if you really want to get rid of it, you have to give the money back, or you can't take money.
Well, she did it wrong because you can't come back. You can't regulate people who's got that kind of money from. My question is, why would Citadel give her that money in the first place? If the going rate for her is 50 grand, why would you give her 215? I mean, she still has influence. I mean,
And you have a pretty good idea that she's not done having influence.
So I don't really, 30 seconds, the stocks that are now 20 times revenue, 30 times revenue, and they go up every single day, Russell, are we talking about 2000 or is this time it's real?
We're talking about 2000. To use some words from a really smart guy I talked to about this the other day, it's very artificial.
But they're,
I love that word.
But they're not even stocks that anybody even knows about. They're not even in the...
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, we'll talk about that more next week. SP Futures now up 20, NASDAQ Futures up 135. We have 20,000 people from the military standing there for the inaugural. Is anybody else invited?
I heard it was 65,000.
What? It's some number. Can anybody else even go?
No. It's a bunch of... They put a bunch of flags out.
With people's pictures on them, like in baseball games?
Cardboard
cutouts. Anyway, nice job, Manny. Thank you, Russell. Interesting show today. SP Futures up 20. I'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks, with a new president.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.